Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Morning. How you guys doing? How are you guys really doing? You guys doing good? Hopefully you guys are doing good. Today's message, I think, is important. I think all messages are important, but in case you guys don't know how I do things, how we do things around here, is we're very much so led by the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Lord. And so today's message was something that I believe God specifically gave me for all of you today. And so as we look into His Word this morning, I want to start by, even before I pray, I want to share a scripture with you guys. It's in the book of Daniel. I can't find it right now, but I think I have it in my, I think they have it here. So go ahead and pull up the Daniel 1:3. It says, then the king commanded Ashpenaz and his chief eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility. Youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank, and they were to be educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel, I have a hard time with those names, those are weird. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. So this is the part that I want you to see right here. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the king's wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. That word resolve means that he made up his mind. Daniel had made up his mind before he was put in this position. And the idea of having a resolve, I think, is probably more important now than ever. Obviously, this is a weird time, right? It's a crazy time. And so for us to make it through, but not just make it through, but for us to thrive during this time, because Christians should thrive during challenging times. If there's one thing that God has created us for and put us here for, it's for the ability to go through challenging times and to show people God through that. And so as a church, we need to make up our mind before the challenges come. It might seem too late, but it's not too late, because I don't think it's going to get any better really soon, right? It's not going to get, like, November's not going to be our best month in the world, I don't think, right? So we need to be ready. We need to be resolved. We need to make up our mind that we're going to be okay, that we're going to get through this, that we're going to grasp onto God, we're not going to let go, and that we're going to choose to live how God has called us to live, right? And so today, as we look into the Word, as we study, as we pray, as we're together, I want you to think about that idea of having your own resolve, making up your mind before the challenge comes, because it's all about being prepared. So let's pray, and I believe that God really does have something for us today. We don't have a lot of time, but God can do a lot in a little bit of time. That's one thing God does, is he takes a little bit and he makes a lot out of it, right? That's what he does. It's called blessing. So let's pray this. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are, God. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us by your Spirit. Lord, I'm just crazy enough to believe that you're real. And I was raised that way, but Lord, the reason that I believe you're real is because you have consistently shown up in my life. Lord, every single time that I have needed you, you've been there. Sometimes it gets close. You wait till the end of the wire, but you are always there, Lord. And I just thank you for that. I want to publicly thank you for that. I want to publicly thank you for being my God, for being here for me and my family and the people around me and for this church. Lord, you have been our sustenance. You have been everything that we have needed when we have needed it. God, you've been a good father, and I just want to thank you for that this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we look to your word, Lord, that you would just open our eyes. And I pray for freedom today, God. I pray that shackles would be released. I pray, Lord, that we would have the ability to walk out today of our homes, if we're watching this in our homes or if we're in person. I pray that we'd walk out today, Lord, knowing that you are king and that nothing can take us down because you love us, Lord, and you are the one who has the final say. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I made a list of current challenges. It wasn't difficult, and it's not exhaustive. Obviously, we're dealing with disease. Some of you are dealing with unemployment. Some of us have dealt with racial tension, which is so weird because we didn't deal with it until it was a thing, right? And then it becomes a thing, and then it becomes, you know, you're walking around worried about it. The media is really good at getting us to worry about things, aren't they? Political boundaries, right? I don't know how many of you guys feel like you have been pushed into a fight, like you've been shoved a little bit politically, like you've been pushed into a fight that you weren't looking for, but you've been pushed into it, right? Now we're dealing with fires. Our whole state's on fire. Our whole state is so much on fire that we have ignited Oregon and Washington as well, right? The whole West Coast is on fire. It's crazy. We have to worry about the power grid. You know, is your power going to be turned off? We have to worry about dishonest media, government shutdowns, violence. Like I said, I don't think it's going to get any better. I'm not trying to depress you guys this morning, okay? I'm really not. I know it sounds like I'm trying to depress you. I'm not. This is just a reality check. These are challenging times. And I'm not excited about these challenging times. I'm not, like, pumped up about it. But when you read the Bible, the people in the Bible went through very difficult times as well, didn't they? They went through all these things. And so today's message is about resolve, like I said at the beginning, but it's also about, the title is Critical Practice. I think about doctors and I think about how they practice medicine, and what they do is they go to school, they study, right? But then they not only study, they go in and they work with patients and they practice daily. And a good doctor will stay on top of it, stay on top of the latest medicine and practice this. And so as Christians, what we need to do is we need to be people who practice the things that we're supposed to do, the things that we're called to do. And today's, it's kind of like a part one, but I'm not sure when I'm going to do a part two. So today's crucial practice is abiding in his word. John 8:31 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Jesus said this, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. What does it mean to abide in his word? What does it mean? Well, it means to practice it. It means not just to read the Bible. The Bible is important, right? But how many of you guys know that you can read the Bible your whole entire life? You can read it your whole entire life and not really know the one who is behind it. See, God is real and he wants to speak to us. Let me ask you a question today. What does God want to say to you? Let me ask you a more important question. What has he already been saying to you? What has he been speaking to you? I think sometimes we pretend to be deaf because we don't want the responsibility that comes with the word, right? We don't want to have to follow the things that God asks us to do. But if there's ever been a time in history, if there's ever been a time in our lives where we need to focus, it's now, right? And I've had a hard time focusing lately. I'm going to be honest with you. How many of you guys are with me? You've had a hard time focusing lately. It's been difficult because we're getting hit from every single angle. Even at our church, the pastors have been hit hard. Pastor Hector, Pastor Tom, my dad, the older, the guys that are the strength of this church, the backbone of this church, they've been attacked. And so please keep praying for the pastors. Keep praying for us as we pray for you, right? It's good. It should work out pretty well. We pray for you, you pray for us. And in the end, we all just do the best that we possibly can, right? And so Jesus said to abide in my word, and if you do that, you're truly my disciples. And so I want to read you a couple scriptures about the word of God, about the importance of the word of God. Now, again, I don't know how to reiterate this, but I've said this so many times before, and I'm not sure. I think people don't really understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to try to do it one more time. But the Bible is the Bible. It's the Holy Scriptures, okay? They're very special. God inspired these words. God breathed these words. The Bible is really important. But there is a distinction, I believe, between the Bible and the Word of God. The Word of God is when God actually speaks to us, when God actually says something. I think it's more personal. So like, the Bible is holy, right? But the Word of God would be when God uses the Bible to actually meet you where you are. Have you guys ever experienced this before? Have you ever experienced a time where you're reading the Bible and you're like, okay, yeah, this is great. I'm in the, you know, there's all these genealogies and all these crazy things. But then you get to a point where you're like, whoa. This has to do with something that is going on in my real life. And then there's a connection. And then you realize that, wait, this is real. God is real and he's actually speaking to me. So when we talk about the Word of God this morning, we're not just talking about the Bible. We're talking about a God who is real, a real being who actually speaks to us. And I know that makes me crazy. I know that I'm a crazy person because I believe that God actually speaks to us. But I know it from not only growing up in an environment where this happens all the time, but I know it from personal experience. I know it from experience where I've been out on my own, you know, and doing my own thing. And God reminds me that he's there. And so these next few verses are about the Word of God. The first the scripture that I want to talk about is in Genesis chapter 1. First time that we really hear God's word is in Genesis 1, right? God speaks. In verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." Okay? In verse 6, it says, "And God said, let there be an expanse." In verse 9, it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. In verse 11, it says, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, yielding seed and fruit trees and bearing good fruit." Right? And verse 14 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, separate the day from the night." Verse 20, are you guys catching a theme here? Verse 20, "And God said, let the waters swarm with the swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth." Verse 24 said, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, beasts of the earth." In verse 26, it says, "And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea." Verse 27, "And so God created man in his own image." So God created everything in the earth, including us, by his voice, by his word. So the first thing that I want you to jot down today is that the word of God creates new life. The word of God creates new life, creates something that didn't exist before. There's only one who can be original in this world, right? You see artists, and they're like, "I'm an original artist. You know, I'm the only one that paints this way, or I'm the only one that sings this way, or I'm the only one that performs this way," right? You see these people, and they really believe that they are original, right? God bless them. That's amazing. But the only real original one is God. He's the only one that was able to make something out of nothing. And that should speak to us today, because some of us need a miracle. Right? Some of us need a miracle. We need a God who can create something out of nothing, because when we look around, there ain't nothing there. Right? There's nothing there. You look around, you're like, "I don't know how this is going to work out." But what you don't know is that you are a child of the living God who creates new life when there is no life, who creates something out of nothing. That's what the Word of God does. The second scripture that I want to share with you is Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 8 says, verse 1 says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers." Now, he's speaking about commandments, right? Like, you remember the Ten Commandments. God gave the people the Ten Commandments, but these were specific commandments that he gave to a specific people. And God will give you specific commandments. How many of you guys know that God is telling you got to do something right now? I can think of something myself that I have been procrastinating on, and I'm going to just right afterwards, I'm going to write myself a note to do the thing that I need to do. But how many of you guys know that there's something that God has put on your heart to do? And there's a reason for it, right? There's a reason for it. Verse 2 says, "You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you." You guys know that this is a process, right? Like, walking with God is a process. It's not like you sign up on a spreadsheet somewhere, say, "I want to be one of those people. I want to be a Christian, so everything's going to be okay now. Everything's going to be perfect now." No, 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 no. When you sign up, you give everything to God, and then he starts working on you. And when he starts working on you, one of the things that he does is he humbles us. And humble doesn't mean that you're sad and depressed and lonely, right? Humble means that you know where your strength comes from. That you fully are aware that it's God. That you're fully aware that your strength and your love and your passion, everything that's good in your life has come from God. That's what God wants to teach us, that he's our source. And that's a process. It says, testing you to know what was in your heart. He also wants to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did the fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The word of God is also sustenance. How many of you guys like a good meal? A good, you guys like food, right? Good food, right? It's good. I look forward to good food. In fact, I eat out too much. I've been enjoying eating out, the takeout thing. I like sneaking around, so I like going and getting the food and eating it by myself in my house when my wife's gone at work. You know, she doesn't know what I'm eating. Throw the packages away. Burger, fries. She always finds out, though. It's funny. What'd you eat today? Oh, I can't lie. Burger and fries. That's what I eat. I love good food, right? But how many of you guys know that there are certain things that you can eat that make you feel worse, right? And then there's certain things you can eat that make you feel better, right? But you don't always want to eat those things right away. It's not like your appetite goes there. I think the word of God is like that. But then once you start eating healthy food-wise, once you start eating healthy, you start craving healthy foods. You start wanting that kind of food. And unhealthy food looks nasty to you, right? And so just in the exact same way, when you don't have a hunger for the word of God, start realizing that it's a sustenance for you. Start realizing that it's something you need every day. And then you will start to develop a hunger for it, right? You'll start to develop pains when you don't have it. You'll start to develop issues when you don't have God speaking to you. It becomes kind of an addiction, and you get used to God being there. You get used to God showing up in your lives when you realize that his word is a sustenance. When you read the Bible, when you open up and do your devotions tomorrow, ask God to fill you with those words. Ask God to give you exactly what you need from those words. And receive those words. Digest those words. Let it be energy. Come back to it, right? The word is sustenance. The next scripture, Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp into my feet and a light into my path." We went to the mountains recently, and I bought a flashlight. It's one of those ridiculous lumens. Like, you turn it on, and I can see the mountain, like, not the first mountain, but I can see, like, the third mountain with the flashlight, right? It's insane. And, it, like, of course, you have to, I don't know why you have to do this, but you have to turn it on and look right at it, right? You have to, and it blinds you for, like, an hour. So I bought this light, and it's great. It's amazing, right? Technology is awesome. Well, when the people who wrote the Bible wrote these words, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet," they weren't thinking of these, you know, giant torch lights that you can see a mile away. When they wrote these words, they were talking about firelight, candlelight. And when you light a lamp with fire, it doesn't show you what's a mile away, right? It only shows you what's in front of you. It shows you maybe a few steps in front of you, a few feet in front of you. And I think that that's what the Word of God does. It's a daily thing. God will show you, you know, what's ahead today. How many of you guys know that when you spend time with the Lord, you pray, you receive the Word, you read the Word, not just to read it, but you read it to receive it. How many of you guys know that He prepares you for what's to come? He prepares you for what's to come that day, maybe that week. But He doesn't always prepare you for what is going to come in 3 months or 6 months. I think if God, you know, gave us a heads up of what was going to happen the next year, we might just be completely overwhelmed and give up, right? But instead, it says your word is a lamp. It shows you the obstacles that are in front of you if you abide in His word. So the word is a guiding firelight. Not just a guiding light, but a guiding firelight. It's different. Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians 6:17. I know I'm preaching to the choir to some extent today, but I think it's good for us to be reminded why it's important to stay connected with God, right? You guys with me? So Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So in this scripture, he goes. Paul is giving the church of Ephesians, giving them the armor of God, and he talks about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, and all these different equipment pieces, and all the entire list is all. Like defensive. It's all defensive stuff, right? It's like a shield and, you know, armor and, you know, breastplate, all this stuff. It's all defensive, right? But the sword is an offensive weapon. It's the only thing that's offensive in this list. And in this list, the thing is the word of God. And it makes me think of Jesus. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he fought back with the word. He fought back with, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Every time he was tempted, "It was written, it is written, it is written." Now, if you don't know the word, if you don't abide in the word, it's going to be a lot harder to resist temptation. It's going to be a lot harder to fight the devil. It's going to be a lot harder to make ground in your life, right? The word is an offensive weapon. It's the way that that you're able to make headway. So the word is a sword and it's your offense. One of my favorite scriptures is the last one, and then we're gonna put it into practice here in the end, is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says this: "For the word of God," now listen to these words carefully, okay? This is gonna blow your mind here. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit." Do you guys happen to know where your soul and spirit meet? No, right? But the Word of God is able to get in there. The Word of God is able to go deep and do things that aren't normal, right? It says, "able to pierce the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." When you really abide in His word, He's going to give you a gut check. God's going to reveal to you what's in your heart. Sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart. We don't even know what's motivating us. We're just waking up. The alarm goes off. You're waking up. You're going to work. You're doing your thing. You don't even know what's motivating you. You don't even know. But if you abide in the Word, you're going to find out. It's going to be a heart check, a gut check, right? You're going to know what is actually motivating you. Verse 13, it says, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give account. God knows us better than we know ourselves, right? He does. And if we are, if we're taking this seriously, then we need to be people who allow him to do his work on us. Allow him to do that open heart surgery. Let me ask you, simple question today, right? What's in your heart? What's your motivation? What are your intentions? What do you want out of this? You're doing your part. You're watching the sermon online, showing up. You're doing your part, right? What do you expect in return? What do you expect in return? Think about it. Hopefully we're doing it for the right reasons, and hopefully we are here to simply meet with God. And whatever he gives, we have to trust that it's good, right? So we're going to move on to the next 5 minutes. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to put this into practice, okay? So I talked to you about the Word of God. Now we're going to go through a passage, and I want to think as we go through this passage, and I'm not going to be able to get as deep into this as I want, so you can go back and read this yourself. But as we go through this passage, I want to think about how we can apply this to our lives, right? It's work. How can we apply this to our lives? 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24. Now, the church in Thessalonica, okay, they were dealing with stuff. They had challenges, just like we have challenges. One of their challenges was they had absent leadership. Paul was their leader. He had left. They didn't know who was in charge. You guys ever feel that way in our world today? You don't know who's in charge? They were greatly persecuted. How many of you guys, Christians, how many of us are feeling a little bit persecuted, right? There's immorality all around them. There's theological disagreement. So they were dealing with a lot of the same things that we're dealing with. And so if you guys want to know how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to live, I think 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24 is a perfect set of scriptures to show us how to live. This is Paul's last words to them in 1 Thessalonians. Verse 12 says this, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." It's almost like Paul is saying, if you want peace, submit to the authority that I've called you under, right? Now, if you call this church your church, it is better for you if you submit to the authority of this church, okay? I'm not saying that because I want you to do that. I'm saying that because it's better for you. It's what you, I see people all the time that come and God has called them to this church and they want to do something that the church is like, just wait. Remember how I said it's a process, like going through, walking with God is a process? Sometimes the church leadership will say, just wait a little longer. And they don't want to wait. Because they're impatient, or there's not enough time, or they've got energy, and they want to do it now. So they do it now. They jump out ahead, and whatever they're working on, whatever they're doing, ends up failing miserably because they're not doing it under the authority that God has called them under, right? Let me ask you this. How many of you guys have a mentor? How many of you guys have somebody that you are accountable to? It's important for all of us. I do. I'm under my dad. I'm under the church board. I definitely am accountable to certain friends, right? So I am 100% under somebody. And so I'm not just preaching something that I'm not willing to live as well. And so if you want peace in your life, if you don't have peace in your life, I would ask that you consider to put yourself under authority of the church that you're called to. And it might not be this church. If it's not this church, then it's not this church, okay? I don't know where God has called you to. You do, though. You do. Now, verse 14 says, "And we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. How many of you guys know there are difficult people in church, right? There are difficult people around us, and as a church, we're called to admonish, encourage, and to help them. Admonish means gentle correction. I thought that was interesting. We're to correct, but gently, because there are immature people among us, right? And God needs to give them the ability to grow. And for us to come down hard on them, you know, that's not what God would have us do. As a parent, I'm learning that there are times when you come down hard and there are times when you just don't. You know, you let growth happen, right? Verse 15 says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil." But the opposite of that is seek to do good to one another. Okay? Don't repay evil for evil, but instead seek to do good. Seek to do good to everyone. Is that our attitude? This is a good gut check today, right? Is that our attitude? Is our attitude to really do good to everyone? Or is our attitude that sucker, right? Verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. The word rejoice, I looked it up, it means calm happiness. Rejoice always. Be calm and happy. You know where that comes from? That comes from trust. The whole world could be falling around all around us, but if you trust God, fully trust Him, right? You're going to have a weird smile on your face that doesn't even make sense. It's a calm happiness. It's a rejoicing. It's like, it's going to be okay. Have you met people like this that are just strong? You're like, how are they so strong? I'll tell you how they're strong. It's because they trust. That's how they're strong. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. It means uninterrupted, without omission. Obviously, when you read this scripture, it says pray without ceasing. We're not constantly praying all the time, right? We're not constantly like sitting in a closet praying. But I think what this really means is that we should have a habit of praying. We should be in a habit, a mindset of praying and knowing when to stop and when to actually pray and to do it without omission. You know, when God puts something on your heart, pray through that thing. It's for you. A lot of us, we don't realize that our lack of specificity is keeping us from knowing that our prayers are being answered. Does that make sense? Like if we're not specific with God, then how are we going to know when our prayers are answered? God, please let today be a good day. Well, what's a good day, right? More specifically, God, I am dealing with this person at work. Help me to know exactly what to say to them today. That's a more specific prayer, and God will answer that prayer. He'll probably answer the good one too, but it's just, you're not going to know, right? Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. The will of God means what God prefers. God prefers us to give thanks in all circumstances. Good things, thank you, Lord. How many of us remember to do that? Just thank God for the good things, right? And then the bad things too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this challenge. It's going to bring me closer to you. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. I have a whole thing to talk about there that I don't have time to talk about. But going back to the idea of Daniel, he was a prophet, right? Daniel was aligned with God. So don't despise those who are aligned with God, okay? Don't despise those who you know are aligned with God. Listen, because God might be speaking through them. And if you don't listen, then you're quenching the spirit. You're extinguishing the spirit. But listen, God speaks through many ways. He spoke through a donkey, right? Which means He can speak through me, right? It means He can speak through us. So listen, hear Him. Verse 21, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Test everything. And NASB says examine everything. We're not used to doing this. We're the headline generation. We're used to reading the headline and sharing it. Not the article. We read the headline only and share it, right? Or we read the doctored headline on Facebook and share it, right? We're so quick. Snap judgments. The Bible doesn't teach snap judgments. The Bible teaches to slow down and examine everything. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Again, there's that process word, sanctify. Do all these things. trust God, and then let him do his work. He's going to do his work. It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He who calls you is faithful. Even when we're not, he is faithful. He is going to do the work. So if you fell off the horse, get back on the horse. If you're not doing well, start doing better. And trust God and realize that he's doing a work in us, right? And he's going to protect us. Father, I pray that you would bless everybody who hears this message today. And I pray that we would all make decisions to fall deeply in love with you. Help us to do that. If we don't have that love in our heart, I pray, God, that we would have the desire to have that love in our heart and that we would ask you right now to put that love in our heart. God, I pray that you put a love and a desire in our hearts.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our